Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan Prince with Legendary Productions, who fell asleep for a second.
You fell asleep for a second?
No, I was looking at my phone.
Oh, I thought that energy drink must have failed you miserably. Keep drinking. All right. So we got a couple questions in our email today.
From our website, actually.
From our website.
Woo! Website! So, oh, sorry.
Here's the first one. Hey, this is from Cammie. And it says, do you sometimes wish you could just produce whatever you truly wanted to do instead of what would be the most profitable or pleasing to the audience? That's a two-part question, so I'll answer that one for me.
Yep. Yes. We both answered. Yes, of course.
I think that would probably be a yes for everybody. I think that she knows that would be a yes. I think she wants company on that one.
Yeah, I think the answer obviously is yes. Of course, we'd love to do any show we want to do. But the reality is we have to also feed our audience, but also feed our season, feed our ticket sales. I mean,
all right, so it says here, then there's a second part. Okay, so what are some shows that you personally would like to produce or act in that you would never do at your theater? And I mean, I could start that one off because at Play With Your Food, it's, you know, we're stuck with like romantic comedies, not stuck with, but it's like, you know, it's a dinner theater and we could never really do a tragedy or something like that. The audience does not want to come out, have a, you know, eat dinner, get a table with friends and sit there and watch a tragedy. It's like they want to come out. They want a night out. They want to laugh. They want the music, the atmosphere. They want everything. But because of that, it's pretty much romantic comedies for me. That's what I got to specialize in. And finding good romantic comedies is becoming harder and harder after, you know, doing this 30-something times.
Yeah, but when you're awesome, you can just write your own, Mike, what you do.
That's sometimes why I have to. Like, sometimes it's not that, like, I want to. It's like it's coming down to crunch time. I haven't found anything. And it's like, well, I guess I better get to writing something or I'm not going to have a season. It's like, I mean, really, it would be much easier if I could keep finding them, but it just, I'm running out of stuff to do right here. So, what about you, Nathan?
The only line that it's hard to cross with, I think, theater for me and for Steve and for Legendary is that line of family friendly as opposed to adult friendly. Like, what's that line? I mean, what's the content you're trying to say? And what is our mission as far as doing shows that tell a story? But what is our message we're trying to convey in our stories we're trying to tell? So there's some shows out there that I probably would be willing to do if my kids and mom weren't going to come see it. You know, I'd be like, oh, I'll try. That'd be fun. I'm not even saying that it has to be a raunchy show, but there's certain shows that I'm like, no, I don't want that to be something that's instilled in children or kids right now. And Steve agrees with that too. So there's a fine line. And even some of our topics, I mean, I'll just use Oklahoma as an example. In Oklahoma, there's a song about suicide. He's manipulating him to kill himself. And the way we staged it when we did it for the Redlands Bowl, we tried to make it more of like him being funny trying to do it. So we try to make it more of a comedy bit, but is that a funny topic though? And then if you do it too serious, well, that's too dark for kids to see. So there's certain shows, and then obviously there's like shows like Avenue Q. I'll just use that as an example. Puppets having sex on stage. Like, okay, it's puppets. It's funny per se, but that's not my type of humor, despite what people believe. That's not my kind of humor. Like, I'm not like, yeah, puppets. Like, that's not me. That's not my jam.
Hey, I was going to ask you. I found two puppets behind the couch when I came in here today.
Well, those are just friends of mine.
Oh, got it.
How'd you find that?
I'm just kidding. I was moving the couch. Yeah, I dropped a quarter.
Interesting. No, but that is hard because then your audience trusts your audience trusts you. And you don't want to trick them when they come in to see this family-friendly show. And all of a sudden the content they're seeing is like, cover my kids' ears. And the best thing you do is, which we talked about in a couple episodes way back, we talked about just being honest with your audience and letting them know, hey, this is 13 and older. This is 17 and older. This is maybe 50 and older. Like, I don't know if that's a thing. But But I think that is what it really comes down to. So Steve and I are just very forthcoming on the quality.
I mean, you are burying yourself today, dude.
The content that we're trying to let the audience come and receive. So I think honesty is important, just being very transparent on the content that they're receiving. That's my answer. Now move on.
All right.
God, Mike.
I didn't say that stuff. That was you.
Yeah, but you giggled.
I'm very sorry. You and these energy drinks. So something.
Oh, I'm sweaty. So,
oh, we're gonna have to change the genre of the podcast. Yep, in a moment.
We have to change his title and tell him it's 18 and older. What's the next question?
I don't know. Do we want to keep going on this one?
Because no, I'll ask the next question. This one's a great question.
Yes.
This one I love.
Yeah, I bet you
I know who it's directed at, because it's not directed at me.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but I doubt it. All right. From anonymous listener on our website. It says, anonymous, but a listener.
Mm-hmm. All right, anonymous, but listener.
And their Gmail, just so you know, so you can email them, is outloud@gmail.com. So you can email them and tell them thank you for this question. There's nothing on our website that says we had to keep it private, but maybe I should add that. Anyway, it's, I'm curious about directors, producers that cast themselves as the leading role.
Yep.
As well as giving awesome roles to their family and friends. What are your thoughts? Yeah, Mike, I'll let you take this away.
Well, I did when that question came in. I felt like strongly like, well, that must be directed at me.
I feel that way too.
You feel that way too.
So what's your thoughts on it, Mike?
I don't know. Well, maybe that's, I don't know, or giving it to your family and friends.
No, it can be. It's to both of us. It is.
I guess the first thing, okay, so a producer, at that point, I don't know, they're paying for it. They're the ones producing it. They're forking out all the money. I don't know. I guess they can give the part to anybody they want. They're paying for it at that point. Directors that are under producers, I guess that I'd be a little bit more worried about that. If you're a director just going in, working under a producer, and then just giving the parts out to anybody. Yet there are some valid reasons why that could happen. Like they start giving it out to family members. So let's do some what if situations.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know, like maybe you could do it because you're, and again, this is just thinking out loud here. I'm going to play devil's advocate about this, because I think every actor, you go to an audition and all of a sudden the director's family ends up in the show, mm-hmm. and you could be like, what the heck, man? Come on. We got favorites. Well, maybe you're a director and you're not doing this just to be favorite. Maybe it's like, okay, this is my family and I know that they're going to be there. I know that these people are going to be reliable. I know their level of talent. I know them beyond what I know anybody else. And I know that if I put them in the show, these people, you know, who I happen to have known for many, many, many years are going to pull off a fantastic show.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that being one of them. And I have seen many directors that will cast people in a very small circle of friends. And I even asked one time, I was like, hey, tell me this, because you get accused of this. I hear people talking about it all the time. Oh, that guy only casts his friends. Is that true? Do you only cast your friends, or are you friends with just really, really talented people that then will follow you? And then it seems like you're just casting your friends, but your friends are legitimately ridiculously talented, and that's why they end up in the show. And he said, my friends are just really talented. And I kind of figured that was the answer right off the bat. But I mean, that's, you tend to surround yourself with other talented people, like-minded people, and you tend to be friends with people that are interested in the same things as you. So, I mean, I could see that.
Well, I'm going to tag in, and yes, I've joked with you in the past that you cast yourself as the lead, but you also know what you're going to give. You also know the level of what you're expecting for the character, and the only person you can be mad at yourself if it doesn't work out is yourself. And what's to not say that you are the best option for the role anyway. And you already said this, but you are the producer. You could choose to do it if you like to. Anyway, you're the one putting the money out, the time out, and the effort out. If it's a role you want to play, then why not treat yourself to that?
Well, I mean, I guess it's for me when I do this, it's like, hey, I'm going to do this show. I'm going to pay for it, and I'm paying for every last penny of it. And if something goes wrong, I'm not asking for anybody else's help. I'm paying for every last cent, which I think, as we've talked about before, and this is on the cheap end, will probably be around $15,000 per show, and that's like at a minimum.
Yeah,
that is on the cheap end, right? Yep. There. That's hardly spending anything. At a minimum, if something goes wrong, and it could go wrong in a night, I could be out $15,000. And I don't see a lot of people racing to my side being like, you know what? Hey, let me help you with that. Here's $10,000. Let's do this show together. That's never once happened, you know, with me. So I guess, you know, if it's a producer and they're paying for the whole thing, and they've got somebody in mind that they want to cast, whether it's themselves, whether it is their family or friends, they're the ones paying for it.
Now, let me speak for myself in this. I will say, and I've talked about this a little bit, I've lost girlfriends. My family at Thanksgiving has been mad at me. I've lost friends, and people think I've gained friends, and then when they don't get the roles they want, I lose friends.
You ruined Thanksgiving?
Yeah, because I didn't cast a certain way. Or someone didn't make a show in my family, or my family member's girlfriends at the time didn't make a show. Thanksgiving gets very awkward, or Christmas. You're like, Merry Christmas to you, and not your girlfriend.
And then you come into your office and find the two puppets, and it gets even more awkward.
Or does it? Anyways, so the other issue is that I really don't do that with casting. I even, to the point, there's been some roles in my personal opinion that I think I would rock the role so good. I really believe I would. But when people come and audition, I sit there on the panel and I see them come out giving their all. I know they put the work in, and I go, you know what? Even if I think they won't do, and this isn't arrogant, but even if I don't think they'll do as good as I would, I still purposely go, no, you go for it, run with it, take it. And there's been some roles, not every role. I don't think I'm right for a lot of roles, but there's some roles I'm like, yeah, baby, I rock that. But this one, this has definitely happened. So I don't cast that way. Yeah. So that this question, I don't think it's just at you, Mike. I think it's a general question, because I do think local theaters in the area have click friends that get leads only. It's the same people getting leads over and over again. Sometimes it's just who comes out. But I will say, in the defense of this question, to some degree, if I have two people come out, one's a stranger I don't know, and one's my brother I do know, and in my opinion, they're equally talented, I'm going to probably 60% of the time go, I'm going to go with my brother, because I know he'll balk like a chicken and lay an egg for me if I ask him to. Like, I know he will do that. This new person may be like, I will not be a chicken. I'm like, I need a chicken, though. And then I'm like, hey, thanks for being here. You can go, hey, brother Shane or Jeremy, come on in. I need you to buck like a chicken leg. Down, let's do it. So there is some sense of loyalty with people that you know and trust. So that is a thing. As a director, you definitely think that way. You want to put together a team that are willing to take a journey with you. And it's not saying that new person wouldn't. And it's not saying that new person maybe should have got the role. And I've done it before where my family members or friends would say, I don't want this role. Do not give me that role. Unfortunately, you're getting that role. They'll be mad at it, but they do the role, and I give it to another person. It works out perfectly. The new person's amazing. Because you got to grow that network of loyalty people, or build your loyalty up, because how do you know if they're not going to be? So you got to take that risk, but that's why callbacks are important. It's not even their talent. It's how they interact with the production team, how they interact with everybody that's involved in the callback process. That's as important to me as their talent level. Because I think a lot of people are talented, but are you a jerk, or are you really cool? Are you part of a team? So I do think that, yes, of course, when it comes down to, if you're looking at equal talent, you're going to go, I'm going for who I trust. So that's a kind of a loaded question. As far as people tell me all the time, Nathan, just take the role. You're one of the producers. Just take it. You could do it. Aw, thanks. It makes me feel good. You believe that, but no. And someday I may be like, I'm putting this on the season, but here again, that word transparent comes in. I will be very transparent, tell people ahead of time, hey, I'm closing this role. I will be playing it. Don't come out if you're mad about it. And if you're not mad about it, come on out and we'll play and have fun together. So I think just being transparent is what's important about that. It's not like tricking them, going, every role's open. Just kidding. it's mine. Like, so I think that's important.
All right. Well, here's hoping that your next family holiday, is they're not too hard on you.
No, they're pretty good now. They kind of know that I'm not that nice when it comes to that. And they know I'm fair. So they don't put me in that position, and I don't put them in that position. So it works out really well. Can I go to the next question? Because this one's really cool.
Sure.
It kind of segues into what I want to talk about. One of our comments on, because it was talking about The Girl in the Picture,
okay,
which is the show you guys just recently closed,
yep,
which I heard was a huge success. And the comment on here says, what a great show by the very talented Mike Tennant. Opening night was a treat. Do not miss the opportunity to see this show from the beginning. Great work.
That was on our website?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was posted on 5/13. So that was a while back. It was right after you opened. Your opening night, it looks like.
Oh, who posted that?
Sherry Sinner. G-E-R-O. I don't Garo. Garo.
Okay.
I have no idea. But they posted on that, which is kind of what I want to segue into is...
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah,
that's nice.
That's a great compliment. And I think that's so cool that through the podcast, they followed you, and that's really cool. Which brings me to, we'll bring a guest on. Actually, she's...
we got Kathy still here from the last one.
Yeah, so she... Yes, from the last episode.
From our last episode.
She's been here for like a couple weeks. Just sitting here waiting for us to come on. Kathy, I know you were a part of that, and I want to hear the excitement of that, because I saw nothing, but I was really two ships passing, so I didn't get the opportunity to see it, so I'm so sorry about that, which I'm not really a good friend, but really have been so crazy busy. But good feedback.
You know how terrible a friend you are? You don't even invite me to Thanksgiving dinner.
Because I won't make you the lead of my shows, and I know only like that only.
I would come and give you a hard time too with everybody else.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. But I want to hear about how that went, and I want to know about the experience, how it felt taking something from kind of beginning, like the birth when we first talked about this show and the character, and kind of the launch and how it felt with the success of that. Because I saw nothing but successful posts about it. I think I liked and shared all your stuff you were putting out there. So I want to hear about that a little bit. So Kathy, you want to start and kind of talk about the experience and the process, and then Mike chime in. I want to know how it went, how it feels seeing it come to life, and how they responded. So Kathy, you want to start?
Well, it really was incredible to see something first as a script, and to see kind of its incarnations as a script, its drafts, then to go and audition for it, to get in the show, to be part of the show, to see it continue to change and evolve as people filled out their characters and brought things that were new, and then to just be there backstage and to just feel the energy of that show, to hear the people performing, it was a dream. It was a dream come true.
Aw. How was it playing? Was it April, right?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go? How'd that feel? What was the process like? Was it?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. A very different character than characters I've played in the past.
Mm.
I absolutely loved the choreography that was put into the show. That was a unique aspect of it that was absolutely a blast. And I loved every minute of it.
What was the feedback like from the audience? Do you guys get to talk to the audience after? How do you guys do that?
You know what? This is kind of, I'll just jump in and then give it back to Kathy. But for some reason on this show, people have gone out of their way to let me know that they really liked it or that they really did not like it.
Really?
And I've never had people really go out of their way to, hey, I just want to let you know I caught that new show. Mm-mm. Nope.
Did they say scary, or was it just content, or what?
I don't know. Just like, you know, it wasn't our thing. Didn't like it. And then you've got the flip side. It was like, there were not that many people that were like, oh, it was so-so. This was like really we really thought this was like fantastic. This was amazing.
Lukewarm.
Or you're no lukewarm, or there is, wow, we didn't like this at all. And yet for some reason, they really feel the need to come out and tell me that they did not like this.
Well, thank you.
I am so glad. This was about a year full of work. Thank you for the effort of telling me how much you did not like it.
So how did you feel the response from the audience, Kathy? Like, what did you feel from that?
Oh, I always love being there at the end and seeing the audience come through and shaking their hand. To see their faces, so many of them are just lit up with the experience they've just had. And I am a fan of Michael Tennant's shows.
Right.
So I know what it is to be the audience member with my face aglow coming to shake the hand of all of the cast. So it's weird being on the opposite side and having this different perspective. But I understand their experience, and I'm excited to share it with them.
Oh, that's so cool. Mike, how did it feel for you seeing the show come out? I know this isn't your first time, but for this project, how did it feel being on stage as a lead, probably?
You know what was different about it is because my normal stuff is comedy.
Right.
And even if there's like suspense or something in it, it's a lot of comedy. And this really was not. This was very dramatic, very kind of suspenseful. There was a lot of sad moments in it. And if you're doing a comedy, you know if it's working or not. You can feel the energy from the audience. You can hear the laughter. You can hear whether it's a chuckle or whether it's a belly laugh. You know if you're doing a good job. This one, you don't know anything. You really know nothing. Of how the audience is responding to it. And of course, you know, they can come through the greeting line at the end and tell you, oh, it was great, we loved it. But still, you know, they're going to say that about any show.
Right, they're not going to say, well, some people will tell you it sucked.
So some people will.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's why it was so, like, because that doesn't usually happen.
No, people go, hey, great show, bye. And then later
great show,
like,
bye.
What, you hated it?
But, I mean, some people will, like, literally, like, pull me aside. Yeah, we just want you to know, I did not like it.
Wow.
But then on the other, you know, then they'll leave and you'll have somebody else, dude, don't listen to them. They're crazy. This was fantastic. Yeah, but then other people, no, I think they were spot on. It was not good. It was just, I guess, showed me like what a diverse, I guess it can speak to just one type of person and other type not, like really, really not. But the people that were into it really seemed like they were into it.
How did it feel for you being, I mean, obviously you wrote it, getting to receive that, but how did you feel being on stage, seeing it come to life, being a part of it coming to life with the cast that you had?
I mean, I worked on that very hard for about a year. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's you know, the fulfillment of a year. And when opening night came, I started to get very sad because that just opening night signaled the end of it all.
There's an end coming. There's a closure.
Yeah. Mm. It's like, it's opening, it's the beginning, but that's also, you hit opening, it's the end. And, I don't know. You know, usually it's just on to the next show. And right now, it is on to the next show.
Right.
But this was one I would have liked to have kept this going.
Yeah.
It was, you know, one of those shows that you just, you know.
Do you shut it off, Mike, when, like, obviously the writer's side, the creator side of it, when you're performing, do you shut it off and get to embrace the acting side with your fellow castmates? Do you get to experience that as a whole new level or experience?
No, we were continuing this. I mean, I was writing in my head the whole time. Wow. And I think that even in the middle of the show, just after feeling the energy from the audience and feeling timing and stuff like that, I think some of the best lines in the show were added, not the best lines in the show, but there were some really good lines that were added midway through.
Wow.
I know I gave some to Kathy's character that, you know, that were not in the script that I just like felt like this needs to be said, like this is this should be in there. So I don't know that process ever really stops.
Good. But you enjoyed the acting part of the role you played. You had a good time with that.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's awesome. So do you feel like even with the black and white or hot and cold like responses, do you feel like it was an overall success? Like you'd do it again?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, people were liking it, I think that it's got to find its audience. You know, that's the main thing is like, you know, if you do a show like, you know, let's say you do Romeo and Juliet, people that don't like Shakespeare are not going to come out. Just, you know, that's like, oh, we love Shakespeare. We will be at Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
And, but you know, the girl in the picture, it's new. Nobody knows what this is.
Right. They have no idea what to reference it to.
Yeah. I mean, like, I notice you're doing Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
That's going to bring out such a huge crowd because, you know, people love that show. And people that don't like that show will stay home.
Right.
They won't come up to you like, well, Nathan, why did you do that?
Right.
I didn't like that show at all.
Right. It's not a guess. Like, it's already the content and people know the story.
It's like they're coming. So if it, you know, it needs a crowd. Like if people know, like, hey, this is a ghost story and it does dive into the supernatural and there's some romance and there's like very few light moments of, you know, comedy in there, but it's not like anything that I would typically try to write where, you know, it's, you know, I don't want to go a minute without a laugh. Like I want to keep the laughs coming, and this isn't like that. So it's very, very different from something that you might see from me.
Right now I just saw actually a post, your script, one of your shows is being done in Budapest, right? I think I just saw
Yeah, in Budapest.
That's wicked cool and awesome. Now to tag into that, can you see yourself, if someone called you and say, hey, this is our market, like come to Salem and do this show, would you do it? Like, would you like to perform it again? Like, did you have that much fun, or is it something that you'd rather let
the
other
girl
people
in the picture?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
Oh, that's so cool.
I would do that. I mean, I think we've talked about me when I went to Texas and performed Bad Medicine because their lead was unable to do it.
Right.
And I don't know if they seriously, like, you know, thought I would come out there, but when they're like, you know, we're going to have to cancel the show unless you'd like to come out. And I'd be like, let me get on that plane.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was great.
So this show's not one you're just going to release and say, go ahead, world, do it. I'll never do it again. You definitely love this show and you're proud of what the end product was. Like you're that connected.
I am proud of it. And I'm going to do a rewrite based upon what the cast did.
Oh, cool.
In fact, John, who's sitting here now, our sound engineer, was really gracious enough to come in and set up a couple cameras and get an audio and...
John's freaking awesome.
John is freaking awesome.
Seriously, dude, you're one of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And so I'm going to go back and watch that video and then do a rewrite based upon that video because, like you asked, did things change? Yes, they've changed since the script. What, you know, the script I gave out to the actors, it's progressed since then. So right. I do have a rewrite to do, and then we'll see what happens with it.
Dude, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was successful, Kathy. I'm glad you had a blast. It sounds like the whole experience was awesome for you. And I'm actually excited that you got to be a part of, since you're his number one fan, I'm glad that you got to be a part of the production and help create it, and then be there to also create on stage with the cast, and that's awesome.
Yeah, it was an experience of a lifetime.
Super. What was one of the hardest things for you, Kathy, to... experience in the process? Just give us, like, what was one of the hardest things? Like, the character memorization, the interaction, or what?
Well, you know, I had one of the easiest parts. You know, my April is the girl in the picture, so I have this, like, the you know, title character. But I had the fewest lines. I stayed in the same costume the entire time. Everyone else had such a hard time. They had so much to memorize. They had to keep switching costumes. They had to put on aging makeup. I never had to do that. So I had just the cush role. It was great.
That's nice. What was one of the hardest scenes for you to do?
That's a good question. Well, there was one scene that just always seemed kind of sticky for me. I have no idea why. But the scene just always was, I couldn't remember.
Is this the one that you would call the bane of your existence?
Yeah, the bane scene of my existence scene. Yeah. For some reason, I could not remember the lines. I couldn't be in character the whole time in the scene, but like, I would always get through it.
Cool.
Michael would help me.
Okay. Well, good job, Mike, on that.
Thank you.
Sweet. Well, right. Anything else you want to say about that show, Mike, before we wrap it up?
No, I'm proud of it, and I hope that it's got a life after the run that it just had.
I'm pretty sure it will. Your shows seem to always have, I mean, it's in Budapest right now, one of your shows, so I think...
The Cursed Bones is going to be in Budapest.
Yeah, that's so awesome. What's your next project before we end?
I'm writing it right now. However, I do want to talk to you about it, because maybe there's a... character from it that could make an appearance at a Legendary Nights upcoming.
Then let's talk about that, and we could share that when we actually lock that in then.
All right, well, come out, sit in my jacuzzi. We will smoke a cigar.
Yeah, we will. yeah, I'll try to smoke a cigar. I get like and two puffs. I'm like, here, Mike, take it.
I got some nice.
Don't say baby ones. Be quiet.
Okay, some lighter ones.
Okay, fine.
Some lighter ones.
Well, cool. Well,
all right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast.
Thanks, guys. Later.